you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Every team, every topic, everywhere, this is Believe.
So I'm getting this training. I'm so excited. Amber encouraged me because I was bitching and moaning, like, I don't have enough time to write. She's like, sign up for a writing class.
Little bitch.
Fucker. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I was thinking about little bitch because Amber likes to call me bitch in the play room sometimes.
Oh, my gosh. Like, just like, talk about your writing, man.
Bitch. Be my bitch. I like that. I was like, oh, yeah, that's like I'm not daddy. Or God forbid, like master, like which are some things that people say to their
get so, back to the right.
Yeah.
Fly, fly, oughta be a fly. Fly, fly, come and be a fly on the wall.
Hello there. Our house is a hot mess. So come on in. Welcome to Fly on the Wildin' Podcast. This is the show about relationships, about parenting, and recording it all for the world to see. I'm your neighborhood-friendly black girl, Amber.
And I'm Ben, and for a moment I thought my fly was undone, so I just like glanced down, and there is a button missing, so
There's a button missing?
Yeah, so, well, it's not a fly, it's not a zipper, but I was going so quick, we were trying to get out of the house, that I missed one of the buttons. I love the buttons on jeans, instead of like the zip.
So Ben puts the fly in Fly on the Wallin.
I do, or put the button on the fly. Oh, yeah. I don't know. I guess, is a fly still a fly if it's not a zip? Because there's button flies and then there's zip flies, right?
I think it's still a fly.
Yeah, so yeah, I did put fly on Fly on the Wallin.
Speaking of other riveting things going on at Fly on the Wildin' Podcast, we have our live show in Los Angeles, California on February 21st. Have you bought your tickets yet? Do you enjoy giving me anxiety is the question of the day. If you know you're coming, just buy your ticket
just
now.
Buy it.
So that I won't have a panic attack and so that Ben won't have to help me with that Thursday night cry. Right, baby?
Yeah. Oh, man. If we don't sell well, Amber's going to associate her ability to sell tickets with her self-worth.
Of course.
Because of deep levels of insecurities and
yeah.
always being like a person who needs clear goals and clear measurements. Like you
it
can't...
must be nice not to live your life like that. It must be nice just to wake up, no goals,
no,
no aspirations, I guess, no stress.
That's an interesting point where this idea of you need to have a measurable goal to feel valuable, which is a very business kind of thing, where I feel value just for being
breathing.
Alive.
Yeah, we
like
know.
My value comes in just my presence. And I think that's a healthy way of living, less stressful. But I also don't have the urgency to create in the same way. Recently, though, we'll get into this, but I've been setting more goals because I've been forced to
Who's been forced to set
both
goals?
By you. A teacher, an educator, a professor.
That you saw out. Okay. Well, there's a couple of things here. And then we'll get into the show. This is the show. Me and Ben getting into each other is the show. I am personally attracted to people who are constantly looking to better themselves, progress themselves. It is our duty to improve ourselves. Goals are, like, they don't have to be like, what's your New Year's Eve? Dry January. But I do like a person who's like self-disciplined and has a very clear through line of like how they want to be successful. I personally. Now, it also doesn't hurt that when we do set these goals, we start, you know, bringing in some coins every now and then. Like, some of the goals can lead to monetizing.
Yeah,
like,
that's true.
Like, you need somebody in a dynamic to be urgent about, like, hitting the family goals.
Absolutely. I'm right there with you. I do have a question, though. Amber has a friend named Lisa Beasley. She's very funny, but she has this character called Corporate Aaron. Do you watch Corporate Aaron? You're like, oh, that's fucking hot. Like, does Corporate Aaron turn you on a little bit? She's like, the goals. I know it's Christmas Eve, but we need to make sure by the end of quarter four. Like,
no, well,
y'all got to watch this character. So should
everybody
I dress
knows
up?
Corporate Aaron. Corporate Aaron is way more popular than us now. We're gonna connect with her when we get back to Chicago because you know I love Lisa.
Should I put on a Corporate Aaron like outfit and do some like kink play for you and be like, "What are your goals, honey?" And then like tap you with like a little like a ruler or something, or like what? Or like a little laptop. I come in with a laptop.
So, sorry, I was trying not to cut you off, but then you kept going. So then I was like, I should cut him off. So here's the thing about the Corporate Aaron character. It's funny because if you think about it, Corporate Aaron doesn't actually do any tasks.
Yeah, that's,
her task is telling other people to do tasks.
That's why it's funny.
That's why it's funny.
She is goal-oriented, very business, like to the point,
yes,
you know.
She is, but like ultimately, like those managers that we know, sometimes they don't really be working a lot.
Yeah, so that's true.
It's the irony of your manager always telling you that you need to do this and that, and they're not doing anything except for just hosting the meeting where they tell you to do the thing. That's what's funny about that. Do you not feel motivated? I think it's great that we are together, right? Because you do need somebody who's like all about the goals and all about setting things, and you need the person that's reminding you, like, Amber, if you accomplish nothing today, you're worthy. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, you need a healthy amount of both, because if I accomplish nothing today for many days, you know, our child needs food.
It's also like a rollerball for you, because there are times where
it's a rollerball?
It's a snowball, a rollerball. Mm. You ever hear of rollerball? It's an old,
not an analogy.
Rollerball is an old school movie where they like fight as they're sort of skiing around. It's almost like roller derby.
Okay.
But it's violent and people die. Anybody.
But that's not what you meant to say.
I'm going to run with the analogy. For you, you see yourself as like, if you sort of fail a little bit, then you'll get in bed and just sleep for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And then, which is, I never.
Like, you mean at night when most people
sleep? No. Like, you'll get in the bed in the middle of the day. You're like, I'm just so tired.
You must have bumped your head.
Because
you are
so
the
hard king
of a midday sleep.
No, but I'm not. I don't do it because I'm depressed. I do it because I was up super early or I needed a little bit of or up super late doing other things.
I take a break.
Depression sleep.
But how often, now, be fucking for real. When's the last time I slept in the middle of the day because I was overwhelmed and depressed?
It's like once a month. It happens about once a month.
That's not even that bad. It's not that bad to say, like, you know what? I'm feeling overwhelmed. I'm going to go take a 30-minute nap. And when I wake up, that check will be in my account.
No, it's like a 30-minute nap. And then it's 2 hours of binge watching TV. Then it's masturbating.
The question is, when's the last time I did that?
I think it was there was like 2 weeks ago or something.
You can't even remember.
Something didn't work.
That's how much I've been achieving stuff. You can't even remember.
Yeah, because it doesn't bother me in the same way that you. Anyway, we should move on.
I want to stay here, actually.
You were about to ask me something like the importance of having two people in a relationship, one more chill, one more like goal oriented. You were asking me about something about goals.
Yeah, I was trying to make the point that you can't have two like highly goal driven like type A people, and then you can't have two people that wake up every day and they're like, let's just do nothing, go back to sleep.
You do need ideally.
That's why we work.
Yeah, ideally, I think it is helpful.
Well, are we working? That's debatable. Go ahead.
I think for me, for the people who are more laid back, like those people don't do shit. And I've started to learn how to create more goals for myself and get things done. Like, I did create a goal to get a master's degree. That's crazy. I never thought I would get a master's degree. Have a master's degree. I've set other personal goals. And now I'm getting a little bit more serious with my writing life that we'll talk about later. But I've set some serious goals with that. And sort of with you helped me with that. So thank you. Thank you. Let's move on to the next thing.
You're welcome. I'll bill you later. The next segment of our show is called Hashtag Influenced.
It's time for the hashtag.
Hashtag Influenced.
This is the part of the show where we talk about what's viral in them internet streets. If you're watching this on YouTube, I'm doing gangster shit. What's super viral this week is the Ultimate World Cruise. Can I talk to you about this for a second?
Yeah, please.
So I'm going to get all my facts straight. There is a 9-month Ultimate World Cruise where they're going to go to all 7 continents.
I'm sorry, I'm going to go throw up for a second.
Like all the diseases, are you like seasick?
I'm seasick. Diseases, nastiness. 9 freaking months.
Well, 9 months. Well, okay. Let me say this.
That's baby time.
Yes, some people. We'll get to that in a second. Some people are on the boat for 28 days. The internet is starting to call them segmenters.
Segmenters. Oh,
yes,
my God.
Yes, because they're there for a segment, right?
Yeah.
So there'll be Mark Sebastian is this like white gay guy who's super funny. He's been doing some really great videos on TikTok about this. We'll put his information in the episode notes. But he was a segmenter. Now he's about to get off the boat. Whereas other creators, one black girl named Brandy Lake, she's there for the whole 9 months. So the starting price for this was around like $53,000. I saw some discourse on the internet, first and foremost, that was saying that that was like pretty pricey. But when I really think about it, and I'm not trying to say like, but I'm all LA now, but when you think about like breakfast, lunch, and dinner, all of your laundry,
it's all inclusive.
It's all inclusive.
Dang.
So like, think about the money we spend on 9 rent. Months of groceries, on 9 months of rent, $53,000.
Yeah.
Isn't it really that bad?
Well, for compared to like LA, yeah, rent LA prices.
And you're also traveling and going to other countries.
So it's also your travel, for one person. It's right. A one person room.
That is very high.
Same
but I'm
thing
just
of
saying,
it, yeah. It
but you don't have to pay for transportation because I guess the boat is taking you places.
I saw that people were like leaving their jobs, mortgaging their homes to go and
right.
do this.
I mean, when we think about like a yearly salary, though, obviously 9 months is not a year. But when we think about like a livable yearly salary, I mean, I just didn't think it was like, it's so crazy.
Well, you
could
still work.
You
could work online, right? You can
work
online.
They got Wi-Fi, and obviously they can post things because all of the TikTokers are posting content.
Wow.
So let's talk about cruises for a second.
Yeah.
Before we get into like all of the fun things that are happening on this boat. How do you feel about cruises, Ben?
There's only one cruise I want to go on, and it's Joco, which actually I need to sign up for it. It's like a nerd cruise. That's the only cruise I want to go on. And N.K. Jemisin went on it, but it's put on by this great artist who, by the way, the night after we did our show in New York, Joco, the guy who started that cruise, he's a nerd comedian. He played the next day. He's a nerd musician, so I shared a stage with him. Anyway, that was sort of fun. But that's the only cruise I go on. It's like board games and video games and science fiction panels and fantasy panels and nerd panels and gaming panels. I would love that. So I
and
would go on a cruise.
How many days would you love to do?
I think it's like
4 days.
Four. It's like four or 3 days. I don't like cruises because they're just like liquor, alcohol-soaked places. And I just think of... I don't know, you're restricted. And also when you pull into ports, you don't really see any of the culture. It's very touristy. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You can't go to an old abandoned mosque or an old, you know, wat or something, you know, very ancient and experience that. There's no hiking. You're not getting nature in the same way. You're looking out.
Yeah.
I guess
but it's
fresh
cool
air.
To like go to Antarctica.
I think the idea of going to all 7 continents is really, really cool. And I guess there's basketball courts and stuff, but I always see these like massive parties on TikTok of people like dancing and raving, and that's just not my vibe. Like sweaty bathing suits that probably have you know yeast infections because you're just wearing it every single day.
What's wrong with yeast infections?
They're just smell bad sometimes.
What?
Don't yeast infections smell bad? I guess they smell
like... I've had 2 yeast infections my whole life, and I don't remember them smelling bad.
I don't know if they smell bad. They just yeast sound. It smells like unfermented beer
for
me. Wow.
There's somebody out there listening to the show right now with yeast infection.
I'm sorry.
Definitely is
I'm sorry that you experienced that, but I can't... Or just even, I remember, just nasty, like nasty wetness, wet crotch. Who wants wet crotch?
That's true. So, here's the thing. So, you like... it appeals to you, the whole travel aspect, but the yeah. physical staying on the boat in the confined space is not your
job. Right? Yeah, you were saying that a bunch of shit has already popped off or something. Yes. Can you talk about that? What is that?
I will. So there is this great TikTok creator, because this is super viral, and the people are going live every single night talking about this, right? Somebody on the ship is going live. It's like a ton of creators. And if they weren't creators before, they're going to be creators now, and they'll probably have a whole podcast about this after.
I guess I would do it for the content, right?
Right. It's a content cruise. In some ways. But I will say that there is one creator on TikTok who is not on the ship named Whimsy Soul. Whimsy Soul is somebody who's like, hey, I've been on tons of cruises. I've traveled a lot. I've lived in dorms for many years. So this person has made a bingo card of all of the things that she anticipates will happen in the 9-month cruise. Some of the things on that bingo card are, like you said, STDs. Pregnancy is one thing, fist fights, a staff member falling in love with a passenger, a wedding. She puts all these fun things on there, and she's already slowly started filling out the bingo card with the fans. I know, we have our first confirmed on ship pregnancy.
Wow.
So there's been a lot of lore about, like, did she know she was pregnant before? Did she get pregnant on the cruise? Like, what does this mean now?
How does that, I need to look up, but there's got to be some sort of weird, like, if you get pregnant in what kind of waters, do you get, like, a citizenship of those waters or something?
No, it's about where the baby is born.
Oh, yeah. Well,
like, you can't be
now.
Like, well, I fucked somebody in Germany, but now that I'm back in the States, my baby is German. Like, well, that's not how that works.
I guess, well, yeah, but now, because our idea of ensoulment now includes, like, life begins at inception for some of the states.
At conception?
Conception, yeah. Inception is a great Leonardo DiCaprio movie.
Not Life Begins at Leonardo DiCaprio. Well, here's the thing also. Okay, this is funny. So obviously the internet is kind of like not looking down on the segmenters,
I think you can do that.
So the internet was like gagged when they found out that there was a pregnant cruise ship member, but apparently she's a segmenter. So they were like, she's a segmenter, it doesn't count.
Yeah, it doesn't really count.
But, and we have our first confirmed fist fight. Again, I will tag Whimsy Soul in the comments, but we have our first confirmed.
What did they fight over? Like,
it was three women shrimp. And it was at a bar. So yeah, maybe just like drunk. There have been tons of videos also about like the conditions on the boat being different for some people versus some. So this is like, I wouldn't say this is Firefest though. Like, for the most part, like, the cruise is delivering on the things that they said that they would deliver on, like, the traveling and stuff like that.
So one, I did, guy from the Try Guys did a funny song about this. He's in this musical group, and mm-hmm. he did one where they did all this planning, but they hadn't chosen the boat yet. So people were paying before the boat was chosen, but it looks like, you know, they eventually were able to rent a boat, because this is not a... Apparently, the organization that is doing this is not a cruise organization. It's sort of a separate entity.
Oh, I thought it was with Royal Caribbean.
Is it with Royal Caribbean?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, maybe. I don't know.
Well, that's what...
This could be like a different...
NBC News.
Okay, so maybe they got a partnership with Royal Caribbean. I think the original organizers are a third party, and then they partnership based on this song that I heard from the Try Guys. One of the Keith from the Try Guys, who people say I look like him. But
of course.
Yeah.
Here's the thing about it. I know you hate cruises. I think I could be a segmenter on this. Like, just if I was child free and if I wasn't married, like, but if I'm like, let's say I'm moving and, you know, one lease ends at this time and the other one like starts a month later, I'm like, why wouldn't I just go on like a 1 month cruise?
I guess there's a liberation
with lots of countries.
Like, it's so almost like Las Vegas of the seas. You can just do whatever you want.
Still do content. You can still have fun. Like, there's always cruise entertainment. There's tons of meals. There's tons of people to talk to. Mm-hmm. Like, I would be like, I'm going to try to talk to every person on the boat. Speaking of which, this is the last thing I'm going to say about it. Obviously, even though this cruise is in the middle of, you know, the setting sail all over the world, obviously, Brandy Lake, who was one of the black passengers on board, has already been experiencing, you know, microaggressions and racism, because like she's been vlogging that like tons of crew members and staff are constantly asking her like, oh, like, are you one of the staff members on the boat? Like, how did you afford this cruise and things like that? So that, I think, I'm gonna be honest with you, I think if it was an all black cruise, I would do 28 days.
Okay.
But if I was surrounded by white people constantly being like, hey, can we get more towels back here? Like, oh, actually, you're a passenger. Our bad. I don't, like, 9 months of that.
Even if you were guaranteed, like, another 6 million followers.
No,
you just endure
it's not
it for
worth
6
it.
Months.
Because how black people navigate the real world, it's like, okay, There is a chance when I leave my home that I have to deal with some bullshit,
yeah.
some race related bullshit. At the end of the day, I can at least go home and tune that shit out. But when you live on a cruise,
you can go to your room. And
you can go to your room, but it's like this little box on the ship.
Depends how nice the room is, I guess, because there's tiers to the room, right?
Yeah, but I would still have to see them like when I wake up to do breakfast in the morning. Like yeah. I can't really.
You get the breakfast ordered to you.
Yeah, but then a crew member might ask me like, "Wait, did I get to yeah. the right room?" You know, so
yeah.
as a black person, all I have at the end of the day is my home. And now you're in my home. You know what I'm
yeah,
saying?
Yeah, you don't even have that.
Don't even have peace. I'm just kidding. I love you and I love our home. You ready to move on to the next segment?
Yeah, next segment.
Let us know in the comments, especially on YouTube's y'all, because y'all been active in the YouTube comment section. Let us know if you would do this 9-month cruise and just wave like a magic wand and say like, if I didn't have kids, if I wasn't married, if I didn't have my dream job, if I didn't have all of these reasons why I couldn't, would you do the 9-month cruise? We would love to hear about it. The next segment of our show is called Imperfect.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Parent.
Imperfect parent.
Imperfect parent.
So this week, Wild went to another kid's house for a fun play date. We had a good time. It was cool.
Yeah.
But one thing that one of the parents said there that irked me a little bit, and this is something that this is not the only person who we've gotten this note from. Wild is a very energetic child. She loves to play. We take her to, she's enrolled in all the things, the gymnastics, the music class. She is a very energetic child. She's a creative child, and we want to continue fostering that. The note we get from parents all the time is like, she's got boy energy.
Mm-hmm.
And it is irking my soul.
Or I think one time, I love your mom, as we said, but she's like, you need to have a boy so you can play rough, because I was playing too rough with Wild.
Right.
I was like, come on, you know?
Yeah.
Like, what is this?
Yeah. Well, we talked about like rough and tumble before, but like just specifically her energy is boy energy. And I...
Well, this case was like, have a boy so you can do that.
Right.
Right, and that's assuming that boys are more okay with doing this kind of thing than girls are.
Sure.
Right, there's an assumption there, yeah.
Yeah, but it's so funny because I feel like people can get away with saying to my girl baby, like, she's got boy energy. But if I would go to your son and say, he's got girl energy.
You're shy,
boy. You'd probably be all the way the fuck in your feelings.
Yeah.
But you know what I did? Instead of correcting her in the moment, I was like, let me go home and just look this up. Let me actually look up, do girl children and boy children, toddlers, have different energy levels based on their sex? Like, is it a testosterone thing, or estrogen thing, whatever? I could not find a single article by a reputable source. I'm talking like, there were Reddit threads about it, and what is it, like Quora or whatever?
Quora.
But I was like, I could not find a single actual like thesis, a peer-reviewed scholarly article about it.
Well, because kids haven't gone through puberty, right? The release of those hormones haven't initiated anything yet.
So now I feel well within my right to gut punch her ass the next time I see her. But
she's
also,
so sweet, though.
I think
if we said something, she would have like cried. It's one of those moments where somebody says something stupid and you have enough of a relationship, but not so close of a relationship, where you say something, like, they would probably receive it, but the relationship is not close enough that they wouldn't feel, like, terrible.
Oh, this woman will be tossing and turning at night. And we would be sleeping very well. Yeah, I know I can be heavy-handed with feedback, too.
Yeah.
Even when I try my best to, you know, it's the black thing, too. But even when I try my best to be
I
like,
I think it's an Amber thing. You're just a mean motherfucker.
No, I'm like, I want to challenge you on what you said. What is boy energy?
Oh yeah, well
I would say something like that, and she would probably freeze like a deer in the headlights. That's an interesting thing to say out loud. And also, so the fuck, like your kid's a wimp. That's why. But I ain't gonna say that, you know. I'm just kidding. But you know what I did find, Ben?
Mama and daddy didn't raise no bitch.
I think fool is the...
Fool.
Mama didn't raise no fool is the type of... But mama. What I did look up, I will say this, as I was continuing to try to look up like the different sex energy levels of toddlers, I did find that toddlers do have a lot of energy group.
This is nuts.
Yeah, like one doctor, these were... Again, like reputable articles, one doctor talked about how children are like a different species. It says young children not only have fatigue resistant muscles, but they also recover fast from high intensity exercise in both trained and untrained adults.
Give me those baby muscles. Dang.
Literally. So
that's
awesome. The big conclusion of this was essentially that like toddlers have more energy than like highly trained endurance athletes.
That's amazing.
Yeah, you know, they probably scale it.
I just had a great idea for a science fiction story where you, like, graft baby muscles and then grow that kind of muscle and then implant it into your own body. That'd be so cool.
Well,
it would require for you to, like, sacrifice the baby and, like, kill the baby. So there's, like, baby farms, like, external wombs where you're harvesting the baby muscles.
I would read that.
Yeah, that sounds so fucked up. And then people are like, no, this is unethical. Like, you can't raise a child like that. And they're like the ultra pro-lifers. But they've like co-opted that term, you know, because like it becomes like a really interesting, because is the baby actually alive? Because it's kept unconscious when it's in the external womb so that you can just harvest the parts. Well, there is a movie like that called The Island a little bit. And there's the assumption that the people that they're growing body parts for are just in a stasis, but they're actually alive, like moving around, and then they have to escape the island. So maybe like these babies are there. It could be like The Island, but baby edition. Anyway, that's it. That's my short story idea.
You have a really fucked up mind, and I think it's a gift.
Oh, thank you.
I think it's a gift. I was talking to a friend of mine who came over yesterday to do some writing, and I was asking him, I was like, where do you even start with some of these ideas you have? They're so good. And he told me, he's like, sometimes I just sit in a room where people are talking, and I say to myself, what is the most fucked up thing that can happen right now?
And he's like, that's how I live my life.
And he's like, and that's where I start the writing. And I was like, I know a guy like that. I know a guy that does stuff like that. Whereas I think of like, okay, what are the 15 things that could happen in this room that could get weird? But he's like, no, what is the most fucked up, crazy thing that could happen?
Yeah.
And that is like, that's what's on page one.
Cool.
So I think you should, when we run the episode back, you should write this down.
I will.
Because it's a good idea. But yeah, apparently they're like a different species. Oh, what's the big conclusion that you could take from this, right? Because we do want our show to be a little bit helpful. The big conclusion is that toddlers, I looked this up, toddlers should get 3 hours of physical activity a day.
Nope.
A day so that this can be sustainable for them.
Turn
with
off
all
your
this
Miss
energy.
Rachel. Get your kid outside.
Even
have
today,
run around.
I mean, well, okay, I've been doing, obviously, this isn't like intense physical activity, but I love giving Wild a task to do. Like, I found, like, a whole bunch of pennies, and I was like, I'm going to pour out all these pennies, and I want you to put them all in your piggy bank. But she needs, like, a task.
Yeah.
Because if she doesn't have a task, she'll open every cough drop in the house.
God, we are out of
She won't even
drops.
Eat them. She'll just open them, throw them, open them. It's very the satisfying tactile, for her. Yeah. It's to do something that it's, like, a task. So even if I, like, maybe, like, if I have, like, a little box of dog food, and I'm like, I need you to fill his bowl. Like
she
hand
loves
by hand.
Feeding Gucci.
Yeah, just something that like will burn some time, and you cannot tell them that what they're doing is not like curing cancer. Like she's so intentional when she's like, "Oh my God, you gave me the task."
I do that with the grocery store.
Yes.
Yeah, I give her things to put in the car. She loves it.
She
loves
that.
It.
You know what's fine? This is gonna sound really messed up, but you came for my mama, so I got to come for yours. When we got married, I almost had to give your mama tasks like that because I had a lot of stuff covered, you know.
My mom is like a toddler.
And she's high intensity because your mother wants to be so helpful.
Oh, it's so annoying.
But she needs so much direction. So she'll just be like, Amber, like, I just want this day to be so great. Like, I'm so happy that you're marrying my son. Like, I just thought he would never find love. Like, please, what can I do? What can I do to make this day so special for you? And I was like, you know, we really do have everything that she's like, no, there has to be something. Like, I am here.
Here are some pennies in a piggy bank. Can you put the pennies in the piggy bank?
I essentially piggied and penny banked her because you know what I said to her? I was like, I got something for you. Now, I was like, you got your pen and paper out because this is very important. Like, I can't give this task to everybody. You know what I'm saying? So I need you to hear me when I say this is an important task. The morning of the bachelorette party. I need you to pick up bagels for the girls. Can you do it? Can you step up and do that? I mean, and she was thrilled. But the way I set it up like that, she's like, any specific bagels? I was like,
take all the orders.
You know, it has to be Panera.
I remember
it has to be Panera. Yeah, she was like, I'm on it. I'm on it right now.
She came to me and was like, I don't know what kind of bagels to get. What kind of bagels should I get?
I told her Panera. She wasn't taking
notes. No. She's like, how many plains should I get? Everything. Like, she was stressing about
that,
all the. And
she
they don't
was
have
stressing
eggs.
About that to you because to you, I gave me. Her such a. I weighted the task. I was like, this is next level because if you get Brittany a plane and she needed everything,
you're fucked.
My whole wedding is fucked. Like,
so fucked.
So, and she delivered.
Yeah, the bagels. She delivered.
One of them was probably stale. And I bet if I would have told her, she would have melted into the floor, sunk into the floor.
All right. Next subject.
Oh, are you bored?
No. I just.
Am I boring you?
Time. No.
We have infinite time.
No, we don't actually.
This is a simulation. You're right. We don't have infinite time. Okay. The next segment of our show is called the I Do's and Don'ts of Relationships.
I do.
We got two really fun voicemails today, so let's get right to them. You ready?
Yeah, let's listen.
Oh, before we get into the voicemails, this is your reminder. Y'all have been calling the advice hotline. If you need advice from me and something unhinged to say from Ben, please call 1-833-FOTW-311. Our incredible producer Daniel is going to put that number right here so that you can call us with all your problems. These can be friend problems, relationship problems, work problems, any sort of relationship, romantic and the like. Okay, this one is a friend one. You ready?
Mm-hmm. Hey, Amber and Ben. I'm calling in regards to somebody who went from a really good friend of mine to now just being a roommate. About a year ago now, we moved from Pennsylvania to Atlanta to pursue similar dreams in entertainment, and I feel like at one point we were each other's rock. We really were, like, our friendship had never been tighter knit. I felt like I could really depend on her and vice versa. But as time has gone on, we've really, like, drawn away from each other, almost outgrown each other. No idea why. So the other day I approached her about it, and she seemed very apathetic. She gave a reason for, you know, like, her withdrawal. And though I think it was a valid reason because it was mostly spiritual, she just seemed very apathetic towards, you know, the state of the friendship, although she said she wanted to remain friends. So at this point, I'm just very confused. I don't know if I would want to maintain a friendship with somebody who is, like, apathetic, doesn't really think about or care about the status of our friendship, or even wants to try to, you know, take steps to improve it. So I don't know. What do you guys think? Have I lost a friend?
It's giving cult.
Yeah, I don't know what the spiritual reason was. It did make me think of that Bible verse where it says you can't serve two masters, God and man. You ever remember that Bible verse? And I hate when people put on spirituality for being, like, a shitty friend. It's like, oh, God's working in me. I'm like, no, you're just a piece of shit, and you need therapy. Less God, more therapy. Like, stop pretending that there's some spiritual reason that you've been emotionally unavailable. Like, get the fuck out of here. I hate that shit.
I will say this. I have a friend who I've been friends with for many years, and for the past 2 or 3 years, this friend has joined like a mega church in her local area. And ever since she has joined that mega church, she never comes on any of our girls' trips anymore. Yeah. She now works for the church as well. And I'm not going to call this church that she's in a cult. I don't think it's that, but I definitely think that she is being manipulated a little bit by this church, especially because, like, if I can keep it real right now, like, this church is a primarily like white church and she is a black woman. And now obviously they have her like heading the diversity department at the church. And so she's always like doing a lot of setting up conferences and trying to get more black people in the church. So I see so clearly. And again, I've never been to the church. I'm just speaking like, as somebody who, she's always in on every trip, and then she cancels. She's like, this is such a busy season for the church. Like, I tried to ask them for time off, but they just said they really need me right now. Whatever. I feel distance growing between this friend and mine, myself and this friend, because I feel like the church is using her to recruit more black people. Like, I'm just going to be honest about that. Like,
But if you're okay with being used in that kind of way because of your spirituality.
But there's a world where she doesn't know she's being used.
Yeah. I mean, well, because this is my problem as someone who has worked for nonprofits, and specifically who has worked for the church. It's very, very difficult to create boundaries between yourself and your job if you work for a spiritual organization, mm-hmm. because they invoke God, like the most powerful being, for the reason for you to do things. And it's really hard to
combat.
We need
like a corporate Aaron, like spiritual version, because they do that. They're like,
oh, yeah.
But I feel like the Lord said that he needs you this Sunday.
But,
like, well,
but also there are lots of great pastors and lots of great spiritual leaders who are very clearly understanding that manipulation occurs that way. And
of course.
They write a lot about that.
Of course. And we're not talking about those people. Like, yeah. we're talking about how it just, they'll slowly, I just feel like every single trip for the past, and we go on like quite a few trips. Like, we went to Usher in October. She canceled for that. We're going to Napa end of the month. She just canceled on that. So it's just like,
damn,
what's going on? We went to DC last March.
I think she has a new community, right?
Right.
That's a new community that's taking the place. And this is a community she sees every single week.
Right.
And in her case now, every single day. And this is like part of a dream job. Mm-hmm. And I get that because I've sacrificed friends to pursue my dream job, you know, working for you. I moved away from all my friends to pursue my dream job. But you're like my most high. So you feel
like you're currently being manipulated by your job.
I don't know, but I'm allowing you to manipulate me. I've chosen for you to manipulate
me. You are about to go to Chicago for 5 days.
Yeah.
We went to Chicago this summer.
At the annoyance every night.
All these friends. Who is this gaggle of friends you just left in the dust?
So shout out to my girl Victoria. Shout out to my girl Ramona.
Yeah,
shout out to my
friends.
Man Hamong.
You
shout
got
out
friends.
To, by the way, I'm hitting up all those homies, and we're gonna hang out like each night.
You should.
But yeah.
I do want to answer this person's question though. I do think it's weird because now y'all are roommates, so I think she's trying to save face because she's like, "Well, bitch, are you trying to move out?"
Yeah.
Like, but I definitely, there is a world where y'all are growing apart, and that's okay. I definitely do not feel, even though we've all kind of, me and like my close group of line sisters, we've all kind of lived in different cities for a very long time. But like,
she
one
has,
of my line sisters I called yesterday.
Yeah, so this, she said, "Did I lose a friend?" I don't think you've lost a friend. I think the friendship
she asked
has.
Me, am I losing this friend?
I don't think you're losing. I think the relationship is changing. Similar to your case, Amber, where you haven't lost this friend. Like, we went to we went back home and like she came to our show. Like so so like I saw her and every time I see her I'm like super pumped to see her. Yep. Like the relationship just changes because people's priorities change. It sounds like this person's priorities.
We're definitely not as close as we
but
were before.
I don't put it in terms of losing. Like you're not losing anything. You're either moving, your relationship is changing or developing because 10, 15 years from now, you'll probably hit each other up, right? You'll probably text here and there, but you're just not as close as before. And so that relationship aspect might be lost, but do not put it in terms of I've lost this person and you're not losing a friend.
But it feels like grief in a little bit because she said that this girl used to be like her rock.
Yeah, no, I get that.
And then when she brought it up to her, like, hey, I don't feel like we are as close as we used to be. She said this friend was apathetic. Yeah. And explained that for spiritual reasons.
Yeah.
So it's okay to feel hurt by that. Like I want to validate this person's feelings because for me, if I was her, I know you don't agree. If I was her, I would feel like I'm slowly losing a friend.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess
it's easier for me not to feel it. Like if this friend that this was happening to was in LA with me and this was happening, like it would feel like a loss. It doesn't feel like as heavy of a loss now because we've been living apart for many years, but well, I definitely don't feel like she's as close to the group anymore.
That is true, but when people say they lost, it's like, oh, I can't talk to this person ever again, you know?
Yeah, but it feels like she can't in the way that they used to.
Yeah, you can't in the way you used to, but you can still maintain some semblance of a relationship. Right.
I definitely just feel like if I'm living with you and you're not excited to hang out with me and excited to do things with me like you used to be, I would count it as a loss.
I think you need to find a new roommate or move out.
I would agree.
I would agree with that just because I think it could be very hurtful for you because the relationship has changed so much. But I don't think you should cut off all contact with this person.
I agree.
Think maybe like a text here and there or like a funny meme that you guys used to share or a reference to a TV show that you really liked. Like, hey, I saw this. It made me think of you. How are you doing? But you gotta move out.
I would agree.
Because this person who's now just your roommate could be like, just be too painful to be around.
Yeah, or maybe there's something going on in the house too. But you asked her and she was apathetic, so she can't say like that. You like our Grace Jones fits?
Yeah.
It's funny how I got dressed and then Ben was like, oh, Grace Jones. Voicemail number two, you ready?
Go for it.
You just want to be me. Like, you want to be in my skin.
Hi, Amber and Ben. I have a weird, maybe, question. It's sort of relationship and parenting related. I've been in an interracial relationship with my husband for a long time. We've been married for over a decade. And because we have children, we get lots of children's books and we try to expose our children to lots of media that has Black characters and things in it and, you know, talk a lot about race. And we try, of course, we work very hard to try to be very open about race in our home. But one thing that sometimes has been bothering me lately is my husband loves to do lots of voices for our kids when he's reading books to them. And sometimes when we get a book that has Black characters in it, my husband, who is white, and I'm Black, he will put on a Black voice and Black affect when he's reading the Black characters in the book. And I'm not sure it bothers me. It feels a little minstrelsy to me. It feels weird. But I'm not sure, I guess, how to bring it up because I don't want him to feel like I'm telling him you're being racist, I guess, but like at the same time, it does feel racist. So I guess I want to hear your opinion on it. I'd love, it's one of the reasons I follow y'all is because, you know, you're biracial children and you're an interracial couple. And so I just really want to hear like another opinion on this kind of thing. Okay. So thank you. Bye.
My first question is how good is the Black scent? Right?
No.
And like, what kind of Black sound are we talking about? We talk about like Chicago drill, like sound of Chicago. Are we talking about like the Mississippi drawl Black scent? Are we talking about like antebellum times? Are we talking about?
Is it giving slave or is it giving like Brooklyn hood?
Yeah.
Is it
or giving... even like the proper, like quote unquote proper, like 1960s, like civil rights movement black scent, you know?
the civil rights movement black scent. Now, I would love to hear what that sounds like, Jonathan Majors. What is the civil rights movement black scent?
I have a dream.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Some gravitas.
The gravitas and just
A little preacher energy.
Yeah, the James Baldwin. And now, you know, like yeah, preacher. Yeah.
Or even like preacher, white people preacher. Used to be in the, you know how it's like, oh, hello? You're calling me from New York. You remember how like in the 50s and 60s, yeah. like how people would, oh, I don't think that's very nice.
Yeah.
Then they put my leg through over there. Like that.
Yeah, yeah.
But the black version of that.
Yeah. I don't know what it would sound like. I've never done a black scent, so I don't know what this woman is referring to.
You know what? I'm gonna be vulnerable for a second. And then I'm gonna cook your husband. Ben buys a lot of not only like books with black characters in it, obviously, but Ben also buys books with like Latino characters and stuff like that. At one point you were really heavy pushing the Spanish books. And I did have a tendency when I was reading, especially if it was just in Spanish, to put on, but I think Spanish people like that. Sound off. If you're Spanish, drag me. I wasn't trying to be like Mexican gangster.
You sounded like Frida from Frida Kahlo.
No, but I was trying to be like, if it said yeah. like trabajo, like I was trying to yeah. do the thing instead yeah, of like trabajo. Accent, yeah. Like I was trying to make it sound.
Because there's Spanish is a language and right. the very structure of the language requires you to change parts of the sounds that you make.
Like yes.
The vowel sounds are going to sound different in Spanish than
yeah,
they sound
and I would
in
be like,
English.
Pedro makes a quesadilla. Like I was trying my best to do it, but
I remember hearing her a couple of times doing that and me just laughing. And then one time I tried it and I was like, this just sounds. I remember,
I
right? I tried it. I was like, Raul the Third.
Great
I
book.
I love his books. They're so freaking good. And I would like, it just did not sound right.
Yeah, because.
And we just looked at it.
It's a little like, different. The black, yeah. Okay. I think you have to tell him that the black scent makes you uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And you have to describe to him what black scent he's using and why. Because I think sometimes whenever I've heard a white person just like offhand try to read black scent style in a book, it was always slave. It was always like, master of color in purple. I'm just like, what is it? What you doing? Like, this is just a book about a kid eating a sandwich. Like, what was all that about? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Like,
Jameer said yep. he was hungry for a sandwich. So I said, okay. Do you like sandwiches? I'm like, what the hell is that? Like, that's what it can't be. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So I just think, you have to tell them, like, baby, it makes me uncomfortable when you read the characters in this minstrel slave way. I love you. I'm your wife of 10 years, and we got kids together. Just read it how you would read it. Like, you don't have to put on for the black characters. Like, you would take that advice on.
I would.
If you were doing this.
I would if I was doing it. I was like, oh, yeah. I would be like, oh, yeah, that is sort of weird. Or like, you can make it a weird thing. I think, you know, because being called racist for white people is, like, so hurtful.
That's the big bad. That's bad capital B.
It hurts our little feelings so much. Don't do it to us. I think maybe if you said something along the line of, like, hubby, that's weird. Come on.
Yeah, or just, I feel like I would playfully say it to you. I was like, can we take this character out of shackles and,
yeah,
and put him in Tim's?
Yeah.
This character right now is, like, I would describe, like...
Less Uncle Tom and more Tupac, please.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I would definitely... And then I would be like, you know what?
Let's
give him
that.
The old Jeffrey Wright energy. Like, yeah. let's just make him a regular, degular Sterling K. Brown. Like, let's go for that.
Yeah.
Because I would be like, who do you think you sound like right now? That's probably what I would walk in and say.
Yeah, you would make it a joke.
I'm trying to think of a book that Wild has that I would potentially catch you doing that. Especially when the story doesn't call for it.
Yeah, I don't know what stories. I actually, for the most part, really, really stay away from, like, slave narrative stories for a while.
Remember that Magnolia Flower book?
Yeah, that's...
That had a few, yes. like happy ending slave narrative in
yes.
it.
Yes, it's just during Reconstruction.
Right.
So Reconstruction, specifically Reconstruction tale, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, for the most part, I try to stay... There are some Jacqueline Woodson stories that we read to her, but I just channel like my Jacqueline Woodson voice, and just Amber and I went to a reading of hers on for one of our first dates, and she just has like this emotion, like read with emotion. You don't have to,
and
you know,
wonder, yeah,
and wonder, and like, ah, oh, like she's beautiful. She's just a beautiful reader. It's great to hear her read, but there's no like black scent, right? Because it is minstrelsy, you know.
It is.
I think just referring, be like, yo, this sounds like a minstrel show. And like it doesn't, and he's doing it to be creative and like doing it to be fun and cool. But I don't know, just call it how it is and
right.
be like, come on, husband.
Because
like,
we know
you sound
what,
like a minstrel show.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Come on,
you don't,
husband.
you don't have to make it like, I need to talk to you about something. Like,
yeah.
You don't just be like,
yeah, maybe it's an offhand,
hubby.
Like, can we bring this character into the 21st century?
Yeah.
I think that would be.
Inject some humor. Kind.
Yeah, yeah. And if he's really fighting back, just hit him with it makes me uncomfortable.
Yeah,
when you
it's weird.
Especially if you're not reading a slave book.
Yeah.
Like, that's when it just feels so...
There's so many fucking slave books for kids.
There's so
many Holocaust, like, books for kids, too. I'm like, Jews are more than
grandparent.
Their Holocaust. Oh, and the dying
grandparent books.
I love
you
those.
You cannot keep getting
those
for me.
Those are my favorite.
It's so funny because, you know, I used to do a little bit more voiceover work. I haven't, you know... I say all my agent about sending me a voiceover. Actually, they texted me about one last night. Anyway, I used to do voiceover work more. And I remember I booked a voiceover thing, or maybe I was recording an audition for something. And this was like at the beginning of the pandemic, like beginning of the vaccine. And so you could just tell based on the reading, they were like, hey, we would like this to be read in like an urban tone. And it was like, I got my vaccine too, girl. Get yours. Like, I was like, I see they're trying to get us to get vaccinated.
I think one of our friends got that voiceover too.
Yeah, she's like, girl, did I just hear you advertising vaccines on the radio? Like, it's like, because at McDonald's, my burgers always, like, you know,
you
like,
got a
like
Boost Mobile
voice.
One. I was like, every MLK Boulevard has a Boost Mobile on it. It was just like
MLK.
MLK.
The last segment of our show is called Shelfie.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Today we're not so much talking about books that are on our shelves that we're currently reading. We're going to talk about books that will one day be on our shelves. Why? Because Ben and I have been doing a lot of writing. So Ben, we talked a little bit about this at the top of the show. What are you writing? What inspired you to start writing? Hit me.
Yo, I am writing a science fiction story. I joined a science fiction class. I've always wanted to write science fiction stories, but I've never had like specific science fiction training. I've taken creative writing classes. So I signed up for an extension class. We meet every week. I've been having great workshops, reading other people's science fictional. Well, it's like a speculative fiction class. Speculative fiction, more literary. But the teacher who writes it, like she loves science fiction. Like she's studied with Ted Chiang and more like traditional science fiction writers. We read an Adam Troy Castro, where a lot of these writers you only read if you're really into the genre. And so she, Ploy, I can't pronounce her last name, but her name's Ploy, and she's published on tour.com. But Professor Ploy is dope as hell. Like, she's so fucking cool. And she knows a lot about science fiction specifically. So I'm getting this training. I'm so excited. Amber encouraged me because I was bitching and moaning, like, I don't have enough time to write. She's like, sign up for a writing class,
little bitch.
Fucker. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I was thinking about little bitch because Amber likes to call me bitch in the play room sometimes.
Oh, my gosh. Like, just like, talk about your writing, man.
Bitch. Be my little bitch. I like that. I was like, oh, yeah, that's like I'm not daddy or, God forbid, like, master, like, which are some things that people say to their
get so, back to the writing.
Yeah, so yeah, I've been writing I've been working on a long, like, a novella, and then a bunch of short stories, and I'm going to start, like, hopefully get those published in some genre magazines. And yeah, it's been so cool. I've been so inspired. So and I just want to encourage everybody, like, if there's something you want to do, taking yoga or even a writing class, sign up for a class. Sign up for a writing group. There's free ones out there. Like, stop thinking you can do this shit on your own.
You can't.
You need community. Like, you really do. And I'm going to get off my high horse, but yeah, like, that's something that Amber's discovered as well. Like, you've been writing with people as well, right?
Yes. I have to schedule, like, writing dates with people or writing retreats or, like I said, my friend Gabe came by. Gabe is going to be on the pod soon, everybody, and support Gabe's Seed and Spark. I'm going to put that in episode notes, but he's a writer out here.
Published, like, 4 books, right?
Published books, also writer for TV, also is making a film, also just had a short at Sundance. So accomplished, and I'm getting to the point where I'm like, hey, you, my very talented friend, can you please come to my house? I will buy lunch and hear my pitch for this pilot I'm writing. And I pitched to him yesterday. He was like, oh, this is a feature. And I was like, well, no, I'm too scared to, like, write something that big. He's like, no, you have the ideas, we're gonna sharpen and fine tune, but he's like, you got a great idea here, and now you just gotta, like, write. And I would have never felt that I had a good idea had I not just talked to somebody else about that. Mm-hmm. And I think it's helpful.
And people
for you
like
and
it. Like, we hung out. Gabe said he was gonna leave at one time. I came back because that's when the writing session was supposed to end. We just hung out and talked.
Right.
As while I, like, took a nap. Like, people want to be, I forget, people want to be in communion with each other. That is why people go to church every Sunday instead of streaming it. This is why we like to go to our book clubs when we could just sit home and read it on our own. Like, that is, it's so important to be in community with people.
And it's important to be in community with people.
And support live theater. So please buy tickets to our show. Okay, go. Sorry.
And it's important to, of course, I lost my train of thought.
Yeah, to
it's important to do it with the person that you're not always with.
Yes.
Because we're at the point, that's why I was, like, tired of you bitching about your writing, because I'm like, because you would write something and then you would have me read it. You're like, what do you think about it? I was like, I think it's great. And you're like, well, what else? And I'm like, Ben, I don't write speculative fiction. So, like, this is good. Why don't you go get somebody else to read your writing and encourage you to do what's next? Because which is funny, because I'm now writing a horror comedy sort of near distant future story myself. But, like, we can't keep talking about it together, because we're not going to help and push each other.
Yeah, we're sort of like, I don't know, what's the term? Where it just goes back and forth. We're like a hamster wheel between the two of us.
No, we have really, like, great ideas,
hamster,
on some other
I'm
stuff.
I'm the wheel, but sometimes you, the hamster, just got to get out, and me as the wheel have to be, like, rolled and used somewhere else.
That's an interesting analogy. I'm the hamster running over you, the wheel.
Yeah, and we just keep on rotating, you know, sometimes, because the hamster wheel can be used for other things, and the hamster can go take a shit or drink some water, can do other things as well. So we have to, sometimes you just got to separate. I don't know. I'm a great writer.
You are.
I have better analogies, like, than
I like the hamster, the wheel. That's cute. It doesn't look good for you in that analogy, but I mean, fabulous. I got my workout as the hamster.
And hamsters are cute as shit. Cute as shit.
That's a great place to wrap. With that being said, thank you so much for listening to another episode of Fly on the Wall and Podcast. If you are in Los Angeles, I better see your motherfucking ass at our live show on February 21st at the Lodge Room. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much. Please get a copy or pre-order your copy of The Sex You Want by Rena Martin. We will have her on our next episode. So we'll see y'all next week. Bye, y'all.
Bye.
You know they're from TikTok, because those laughs keep you coming, because they're wild. All the time. time. Before wild throws a tantrum, listen to our silly anthem, cause they're wilding all the time. Don't swap while Amber squats and does her dance to please her plants, and Ben reads books while serving looks. Wild is wilding all the time. Fly, fly, oh, to be a fly. Fly, fly, come and be a fly on the wall.
You can start your day off right when you find a professional on Angie to get your plumbing right first. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Visit Angie.com. You can do this when you Angie that.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.